Evening, family. If you want to turn over to Mark chapter 7. May I have a cough drop, please, love? While you're turning over there, I want to just try and communicate to you some of the different things that are going on in Mark chapter 7. There's just a very short section we're going to be dealing with of Jesus explaining what he is saying to the Pharisees and the scribes in verses 5 through 13, and then he's got to explain some things to them privately in verses 20 through 23 is where we're really going to be spending most of our time tonight as we continue the Trailblazer series out of Mark. I came across an article. I'm a fan of the website, the Babylon Bee. Their satire is right up my alley. The commentary that they're making on some Christian society is spot on. Well, in February, it was February 15th, I think, is when they put this article out. They entitled it the TLDR edition of all 66 books of the Bible. You guys know what TLDR is? Yeah, it's when you come across like a post on social media or someplace else, and it's lengthy, and so they'll put a too long didn't read sentence at the bottom, so that you can scroll to the bottom and act like you care and get the gist of what was happening there. So they did this, and so I wanted to share just a couple of them with you because I think it is a great illustration of the thought process, not only of the Pharisees and the scribes in the text, but I think at times us as well when we start looking at where the heart is in our service and how we approach God. and so they said the too long didn't read version for Genesis, God makes everything and it's really good for about 3.2 seconds. Exodus, Yahweh versus Ra, fight night, only on pay-per-view, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Leviticus, stop doing gross stuff. Deuteronomy, I said stop doing gross stuff. What's wrong with you people? All right? You skip down a little bit further. Ruth, the Bachelorette, Hebrews edition. Just because of what Alan's been going through on Sunday morning, we'll deal with the first, second Kings. First Kings, Solomon marries a ton of women, and that turns out to be a really bad idea. Who knew? Second Kings, Israel and Judah go 0-2 in a death match against Babylon and Assyria. Should have declared Philippians 4:13 over that mess, guys. For those of you that are struggling to figure out what Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? You go a little bit further down. Song of Solomon, go ask your parents. What cracked me up, though, the most was we get to Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. All of them have the same TLDR description. And it says, minor prophet who's not Jonah, feel free to skip. And then we get to the Gospels. And they say, Matthew, Peter does dumb stuff, Jesus is the Messiah. Mark, Peter does dumb stuff, Jesus is the suffering servant. Luke, Peter does dumb stuff, Jesus is the Son of Man. John, Peter does dumb stuff, Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? Then we have... Sorry. My absolute favorite is Revelation. They say, Kirk Cameron fights the Antichrist in order to save Christmas from the New World Order. Thanks, Kirk. The reason I bring this up at the beginning of a lesson on Mark chapter 7, when we're going to be talking about the heart, is I think a lot of times what happens is we take the too long didn't read approach to our Christianity or to our service to God. And that's what we see happening in Mark, where we've got the disciples, they're going through this field, they grab a couple of heads of grain, they rub it between their hands so they can have something to eat. We've talked about this in a lot of detail in the past before. I don't want to get too much into detail about how this isn't breaking the Sabbath tonight. And so they're going to approach Jesus and they're going to ask him, what is the big deal? Why his disciples are breaking the Sabbath and he thinks it's a perfectly good thing. And Jesus will go into a discussion with them of their misdiagnosis of the heart issue here, of what's going on. And he'll quote from Isaiah in verse 6 of Mark chapter 7 when he says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites that this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Everything that we're looking at tonight is about the heart issue, and there's two mentalities that people take when it comes to service to God. The one is, if I do everything correct, if I go through the motions, if I allow everything that is external to be right, the heart will follow. And that's the Pharisaical, that's the scribe's mindset on service to God and how everything is supposed to be doing. Or we take another approach to it where anything can be going on around me in the externals. If my heart is right, everything else will follow in service. And those are the two main ideas that I want us to think about tonight as we look at this. Because when Jesus says, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men." This change, the way that the Pharisees are saying service to God is actually meant to be happening, is that if you do everything right on the outside, the inside will follow. Now, I see some of you shaking your head going, "Well, that doesn't make sense. That's just not how it works." But how many times have you used the phrase, "fake it till you make it"? Do we understand that actually buying into the phrase, "fake it till you make it," is exactly what the problem is with the Pharisees here? You can't fake it till you make it. That's not how service to God works. Because what is God concerned about? The heart. It has to start in the heart. And this is the big issue, right? Because there's this, all of this stuff going on the outside, in the way that this idea, this mentality is being presented, that if we do it right externally, my heart will change. That's not what happens. It's not how it works. excuse me. Because external behavior isn't dictated by what's going on externally. External behavior is actually being dictated by what's happening internally. And that's Jesus's point. See, you say you're doing these things that if you take care of the outside, and other gospels say, you know, we wash the outside of the cup, for instance, okay? We wash the outside of the cup, the inside of the cup will take care of itself. Actually, what that's saying is the state of the inside of the cup. That what I do externally is the reflection of what's happening internally. Okay? And so if that is the way that we're going to be viewing our service to God, then we find ourselves in no better position than what the Pharisees and scribes are. Go back to Mark chapter 7, and look at verse 8 again. When it says, "You neglect the commandment of God, holding to the tradition of men. You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." Now, we've talked about tradition in the past. I don't want us to focus too much on tradition. What I want us to focus on is this idea that Jesus is presenting, that these traditions are what drive them. These external circumstances are what's driving their behaviors. They're trying to be servants to God from the outside in. Okay? He says, but look what happens when you do this. It's actually a reflection of your heart when you do all of these things. And he says, because Moses said, "Honor your father and mother. He who speaks evil of father or mother is put to death." But you say, if a man says to his father and or his mother, "Whatever I have to have that would help you is korban," or given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. So you invalidate the word of God by your tradition in which you have handed down, and you do a bunch of many things such like that. And so this is just one example of this outside-in mentality and how it is not going to work as it pertains to how a person is expected to serve God. So Jesus then turns to the crowd and he says, okay, so the outside-in thing doesn't work. That's not how God's called us to be as his servants. And so he says, listen, all of you, verse 14, and understand this, there is nothing outside the man which can defile him, if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile him. Now, here's an interesting thought process, right? If there's nothing that comes from outside that defiles, it's what comes from within that defiles, then the opposite of that is also true. There's nothing that comes from without into a man that makes him holy. It makes him righteous. It's what comes out of the man that determines his state of holiness, that determines the state of righteousness that the individual is in. And it is the heart that says that that is the key, that's the case. So this outward behavior, thinking we're going to be able to fake it till we make it, that we're going to be able to take these outside ideas and place them into our heart, is really nothing more than it's hypocrisy. And so that's how life is going to be if that's the attitude that we take in our service. So we jump down to verse 20. The disciples don't understand any of this, so they go to Jesus and ask for a private interpretation. He says, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." What is the heart of the problem here? The heart. That's what has to be addressed in our walk as God's servants. And we have to be honest in how we address this subject. We have to have some integrity as we look inwardly at our hearts, because working from outside is not going to take care of it. It has to come from within. You know, go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, right, "The heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it?" God can. And he's the one that provides the fixes for the sickness of the heart. But understand, part of what Jeremiah is saying here is of the same attitude that the Pharisees and scribes are bringing that Jesus is saying is hypocrisy. If I am going to promote and counsel my brothers and sisters in this world, that as they're dealing with difficulties, to just tell them, "You know what, brother, just fake it till you make it. It'll all come out in the end." I've not addressed the heart issue. I have compounded the heart issue. Because that's what is at stake in our walk, and this is the part of the path that Jesus is telling us, is showing us how to follow. It all begins right here. Why are we here tonight? Why were we here this morning on this horrible winter wonderland? Well, what did I say horrible? Beautiful winter wonderland that we had that went out this morning. And how many of us are so excited for the next 8 inches that come on Tuesday? I am, anyway. It's the idea of this. Do we do things because we think we have to, or do we do things because we want to? Do we serve God because we think we have to, or do we serve God because we want to? Because if I'm approaching my life as a servant, if I'm walking this path that Jesus is leading me on, it's a want to. It's a want to. It's not a have to. Because the minute that I begin to approach my life of service, my walk in Christ, as a have to, my heart is wrong. Because that's where the thought is coming from. That's where the idea is coming from. And this is a radical thought process that Jesus is presenting to us here. It's so radical that I think at times we have a hard time even believing what Jesus has to say. because what he is telling us is that our problems with sin, our problems with attitude, aren't caused by environment. They are caused by what's already residing within us. It's not the way we were raised. It's not the culture that we find ourselves in. It's not anything outside of us. It's what is going on right here, right now. Sin cannot be rooted out through outward actions. Proper attitude of service cannot be addressed with outward action. And if you have a hard time believing this, then I would submit to you that you're probably of the opinion that we can solve the world's problems through outside endeavors. For instance, if we would just pass the right legislation, that would all go away. Or what if we could just elect the right people? Those issues would go away. Or, you know, if we could just get control of the mainstream media, then it would all go away. That would completely solve the problem of what's going on in man's life right now. If we have these thoughts, guys, we're no better than the Pharisees who look at people rubbing some heads of grain in their hands to eat on the Sabbath and condemning them for that, because we're not willing to address what we really need to be paying attention to. Because the human heart's condition remains the same even if we pass the right legislation, even if we elect the right people into those positions. That if we're not a people who first address our heart and then address that in the lives of other people that we come into contact with, helping them to understand that that's where the root of all of our problems are, that nothing changes. Nothing changes. And I think as we look at the path that Jesus is pioneering, that he's authoring for us, it might be easy for us to think, well, of course Jesus has to talk about that where your heart is the beginning of the path, because, you know, he's the Son of God and he has to do these things. Remember, guys, he's a man just like us. Tempted in all things, just like us. So does that mean that Jesus may have been tempted at one point in his life to fake it till he made it? Probably. But he shows us time and time again that if his heart is where God is calling it to be, he operates by faith, that God's plan works no matter what. And that's what he's calling us to be as his people in the path that we're walking. We're going to stand and sing the song Jason has prepared for us to sing. It may be that you find yourself struggling with the concepts of faking it till you make it. Guys, can't do it. It's not going to work for us in Christianity. We will find ourselves becoming more frustrated, more depressed, more anti-servant as we continue in that thought process, thinking that we're going to be able to fix things if we could just get A, B, and C logistically correct. It begins here. And the first step in fixing that heart problem is an acknowledgement that there's a heart problem and that we can make that confession before the Lord, who is looking to guide us with grace and mercy and justice to help us have the heart that he craves as we serve him. And if you find yourself struggling with that, this is an opportunity to get back on board, get back on the path that Jesus is pioneering for us. If you're ready to become a Christian, ready to turn that heart over to God by confession of Jesus, baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, whatever it is that we can do for you tonight, we want to encourage you to know that this is the time and this is the place to address those needs while we stand.